You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
That's what we're going for, a little more like Jesus. A little less like me, and that's what we've been focusing on as we've been going through the being challenge here at Trinity, which has been a 40-day challenge. We're on day 13, so I know a lot of you are like, well, we're just coming into the middle of this. That's okay, because what we're doing is we're trying to put these habits, these keystone habits of Jesus into practice in our lives, and a keystone habit is just like any other habit, except it overflows into other areas of our lives. You know, so in order to become more like him, and we need to have those habits in our lives that help us grow in greater relationship with him. All right, so what are those keystone habits of Jesus? What did he do in his life that overflowed into the rest of his life? Well, last week we introduced that first keystone habit of committing to community. Right, to be gathering together with others who have like beliefs, who help us to get in the direction that we want to go, because you can put all the habits into your life, you can put all the practices into your life that you want to get you in one direction, but if everybody else in your community is pulling you in a different direction, it's going to be really hard. It's going to be almost impossible to stay the course. So now that we've focused on that community around you, today we're going to be focusing really in on you, but more specifically, your identity. What is your identity? Because knowing who you are, knowing your identity influences the way that you live. So where do we go to find out who we are? Where do we go to find out our identity? Because human beings, we love this question, right? Especially now, self-discovery has never been as high as it is right now. We have websites like Ancestry.com, you know, 23andMe that help us know where we came from, right? Who are those individuals in our lives in the past that have made us who we are today? Many of you may know your strengths in your strength in the Strength Finder or your Enneagram number, right? I'm a 1-wing 9, by the way, in case you wanted to know. A lot of you can describe your love language, how I like getting love and how I like to give love. Thanks to Facebook and all their fun algorithms where they're trying to data mine, many of you even know what Disney character you're most like, right? And I think a lot of that is really interesting. It's fine. It's interesting, you know, finding out what your Enneagram number is. You know, it helps with your emotional intelligence. It helps you better connect with coworkers and things like that. But there's only one place that you can truly discover who you are. And it's to look to the one who created you. All right, parents, how many of you have ever had one of your kids hand you a picture and you look at it and go, oh, that's a beautiful puppy. And then they go, oh, that's a butterfly. Right? Any of you ever not known what your kid created? Yeah. And so I've learned the best thing to do is say, oh, that's beautiful. What is it? Right? And then they get to tell you, right? Because the one who created it is the only one that gets to say what it is. And that's the same for us, right? The one who created us is the one that gets to say who we are, right? And that is God who created us. And his voice speaks most clearly to us in the scriptures, right? So how do you hear God's voice? How do you hear him speaking to you? We open up his word, right? Jesus, even though he is fully God, he had a practice while he was here on this earth of studying scripture. And that's the second keystone habit for us that we're exploring, right? There are several instances, including the only time that we get to a picture of the adolescent Jesus, the boy Jesus. There are multiple times where we see Jesus going into the synagogue to learn, to study the scriptures. That studying the scriptures, that's what helps us to see our true identity. And I want to show you this in the life of Jesus. And so I'm going to encourage you to open up your Bibles to Luke 24. And if you didn't bring your Bible, in the pew racks in front of you, there should be a Bible. It's not the one that has the cross on the front of it. That's the hymnal, but it'll say Holy Bible on it. And turn to page 885. So at this point of the story, it's what I read earlier. Jesus had just risen from the dead. The disciples hadn't seen him, right? A week ago, basically, they were loving life. Everything was going right. But then all of a sudden, their friend, their teacher, their Lord was killed. And now they're quarantined in a room filled with fear. And Jesus just bursts through the wall. We don't know what that looks like, but it just says that he just bursts into the room. And he begins talking to them. And look at how the discussion goes. We're going to start with verse 44 of Luke 24. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Right? So what does Jesus do? He points to each piece of scripture, the law, the prophets, the Psalms, and he says all of these had to be fulfilled. And Jesus says, just FYI, I'm the one that fulfilled it. And then look at what Jesus does in verse 45. It says, then he opened up their minds to understand the scriptures. One of the very last things that Jesus does before he ascends into heaven is to open up the scriptures and explain it to the disciples. He says, you know, here, I'm about to leave you, but before I do, let me explain to you what's written here one last time, right? And that's why here at Trinity, that's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have confirmation. That's why we have adult Bible classes. That's why we have our life groups. That's why we open up our Bibles here in worship. It's because we want to explain the scriptures that you might better understand them. There's just something powerful about opening up this book, the Holy Bible, that the words of it still today are present and active. Even though this book and these words were spoken so many thousands of years ago. But look at how Jesus continues in verses 46 and 47. He says, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Again, here he's reiterating, guys, this had to happen. And in case all the hints and clues haven't come to you yet, Jesus says, "I am the Messiah. I'm the one that said would suffer and rise." And guess what, guys? I just did that. I am God. I'm God in the flesh. And here I am revealing that to you today. And then he continues, he's just said, this is who I am. And then he continues by telling the disciples who they are. And so look at verses 48 and 49. Jesus says, "You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." Jesus says, now that I've told you who I am, now let me tell you who you are. You are witnesses of these things. I'm asking you to go and share your story. Tell what you've seen here. But I'm not sending you out alone. Even though I'm going to be going, ascending into heaven, I'm going to send the Spirit. I'm going to send a helper to be with you and to send my power with you. So the last thing that Jesus does before he ascends into heaven is he opens up the scriptures in Luke's gospel and he does these two things in order. He reminds the people of the disciples who God is, who Jesus is, and then he explains who they are in light of that. And this is what studying Scripture does. Studying Scripture helps you discover who God is and then who you are, right? It's so simple, yet at times we've made it so complex, right? It's really just simple. If you want to know who God is and if you want to know who you are, then you look to God and you study the scriptures. You open up his word to see both of those. Because that's where your ultimate identity comes from. But sadly, we struggle a lot with identity theft here in our world, you know. And we see that physically. Like if you get your credit card stolen or your social security number stolen, that's a pain. That's a lot. That's really hard to deal with. But even worse, most of us are unintentionally or even unconsciously allowing our identities to be stolen on a spiritual level. Many of us, we find our work in our career, or find our identity in our work or career. We find our identity in our family, our relationships, our accomplishments and successes, or even through politics or even our favorite sports teams. Right? That's why we can say things when someone asks you, you know, who are you? We say things like, "Well, I'm a pastor," or "I'm a doctor," or "I'm a teacher," or "I'm a plumber." Or I'm so-and-so's son or daughter, or I'm the mom and dad of so-and-so. Or even, who am I? Well, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican, I'm a Libertarian. Or I'm a Husker fan and today I'm actually proud of that, right? We have so many different identities. And so when the good things become our true identity, if that becomes our main identity, it ends up taking the place of God in our life. And all of those identities can change, right? Your job can change. New relationships can come in as old ones go out. You might have seasons of success and accomplishments, but that might change. Right? Even for me, one of the things that hurts the most is Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, and Javier Baez are no longer Cubs anymore. Hey, knock it off, Paul. It hurts me. Anthony Rizzo's just beaten. Go Yankees then, Paul. Sorry. But even things like Tom Brady, not a Patriot anymore. Right? Our identities can change if we put them in things of this world. But the only true place that you can find your true identity is in God. Right? It's not healthy to find your primary identity in anything else of this world. But instead, as Job 12:10 tells us in the Good News Bible translation, it's God who directs the lives of his creatures. Everyone's life is in his power. Right? Only the one that made you, God, gets to decide who you are. And until you understand that, life will never make sense. Apart from God, your life will not make sense. You'll be living under this false identity. And you can walk around in this false identity, but you'll just be walking and walking and walking. You'll end up growing weary. So walk in your true identity. Right? And not only did God make you, but he tells you how valuable you are. And he shows you how valuable you are. He paid the price to redeem you back to him, right? God gives you a gift that only God can give. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. It's God's word that changes us, because that's how faith comes, right? When the good news of Jesus is preached, when it's present, when the death and resurrection of Jesus is preached, read, taught, said, demonstrated, that's how faith comes into our lives. And my faith and your faith shapes the habits that we put into our lives. And it begins with better knowing who you are, better knowing who I am. And that happens by better knowing the one that made us. And so I discover more about him. You discover more about him when we open up and we study the scriptures. And that's how I want to end the sermon today. Just like Jesus opened up the scriptures and revealed who he was and who we are in him, that's how I want to close out the sermon today. And so here's what I discover when I study the scripture. I discover that God made you and me, and since he made us, he gets naming rights over us. John 1:3 says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then not only did God make you, but God loves you. And how do I know this? Well, look at the depths that he would go to show you his love. All right, John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Right? God sees you as so valuable that he would give up his one and only son for you to die in your place. Right? This is a God that really, really loves you. And he did all of these so that you would become his child. 1 John 3:1 says, see what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Right, through his sacrifice for you, you become a child of God. And not only are you a child of God, but you are chosen by God and sent into this world to make a difference. Take a look at 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you would proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Right? You get to be his special possession. You get to then go out and declare that to others, declare who he is. You get to work with God today and tomorrow and every day of your life. 1 Corinthians 3:10 says that we are God's fellow workers. We are co-workers with God. We get to work with him. And you can live and work without fear, because there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Right, Romans 8:37-39 says, no, in all these things you are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor heights nor depths, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Right? There is nothing that can separate us. You are more than a conqueror. Right? Forget winning and success here in this world. You are a conqueror with God. And so then you can go out with God and be a super conqueror with Him, and you can live a life filled with these things, these fruits that we see in Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, right? This is amazing. Why would anyone choose to live any other way? But it gets even better. 1 Peter 1 tells us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." Right? You get an inheritance that will never perish, never spoil, and never fade. Right? This seems too good to be true, but this is the life that you have in God. Right? And you can see from just these few verses that your God is good. And you can see how good it is to live a life with God. Now, I'm not saying that it's always going to be easy in the world that we live, or even going to be easy to follow Jesus, but this is the life that you were created for, and this is the life that I want, and I pray that this is the life that you want as well. Because you cannot truly live until you're a child of God in relationship with Him. You can exist, but you cannot truly live until you live in Christ. So remember how Jesus just burst into the room with His disciples and then opened up the Scriptures and explained it to them and then sent them on their way? Well, that's what I pray has happened here today. That as we opened up the Scriptures, as we explained the Scriptures, that the same effect has happened on you. Just like Jesus coming into the room through a wall and showing up, that you would see Him clearly today. That you would be reminded of your identity, who you are in Jesus, and then that you would go out and be co-workers with Christ, that you would spread His good news into all the world. So this week, as you study Scripture, may you know who God is and who you are in Him. And so for those of us who have been here, who have been going through this, we have workbooks that we're following along, and today is day 13. And if you're here today and you would love to be able to put some of those habits into your lives, we have more workbooks available for you today. There's adult workbooks, and we have kids workbooks as well that my family has been loving to go through each night. There's a suggested donation of $15, but those are really just available. We have had some donors who said, we want to make sure that everybody who wants one gets one. So if you'd like a book today, please see me after the service, and I'd love to get one. And as we go through these and as we put these habits into our lives,